Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me on the line right now is lawyer at Dear South Africa, Dani Eloff. Good morning, Dani. How are you?
Morning. Fine, thanks, Ingrid.
Well, thank you. You know, Dani, who is making policy in South Africa? Because sometimes the policy doesn't seem to, you know, the left hand doesn't seem to know what the right hand is doing, and often those policies are contradicting one another.
Yes, indeed. It's the funny situation where for the past, eight, 9 months, we've had the circumstances where the executive power, namely the Minister of COCTA, has legislating on her own. And it's caused a lot of trouble. Just the copious amount of court cases is indicative of all the trouble that it has caused. But I mean, it's strange times and it's a complex time. And, I think, our South African democracy is really being tested through it, but I must say it is worthwhile to note that South Africa is one of the few countries where we are actually going to our courts to protect against a government that's overstepping. We haven't seen the amount of litigation in other democracies all over the world. It hasn't nearly been the same amount, and some might argue it's because the South African lockdown regulations during the past 9 months have been more stringent, more draconian, perhaps. But on the other, our judiciary functions quite well, and that we have an active citizenry who are willing to stand up for the rights and to fight against government overreach.
Yeah. Look, you know, when we look at what's happening with the beaches, you know, the perfect example and the most recent example. Yes, it's only relevant to a small portion of the South African population, but it's very inconsistent in terms of the policies. So close all the beaches in the Eastern Cape, but Western Cape beaches are open, and Natal beaches. I mean, did you see the images from Durban Beach from the public holiday? It is insane. If anything, that should have been the beach that was closed. But that's kept open. So who's making these policies, and what is it based on?
So, well, that's the big problem is we know who's making the policy. We just don't know on what basis they're making the policy. So the point is it's the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs and her, what they call the National Corona Command Council, whatever that may be. It's not really a legislative body. It's not a body that's, it came about in terms of law. It's just something that was created by government and by the executive to sort of manage, South Africa's path through the pandemic. But the basis for a lot of these decisions remain unclear, and it's come out in a lot of cases. For example, the tobacco case where our firm was also involved on behalf of tobacco farmers, it became apparent that there were no substantiating reasons why government enforced such a strict tobacco ban. Tobacco bans that we didn't see really all over the world, not in that measure. And the same is happening now with the beaches. If you just think about it, a beach is an open, ventilated space. It's not really a place that's a high risk for transmission. And many studies have shown this, that outdoors is actually the best place for people to be. Obviously not in crowded outdoors areas, but when you're just outdoors generally, it's good. There's a lower risk of COVID-19 transmission. So we don't know why the minister took this particular decision relating to the beaches. She hasn't provided any particular reasons. And that's why the DA is going to court next week. Our firm is also going to court on behalf of some of the businesses in the Garden Route and AfriForum. And the point is we want to find out what is the reason that the minister has decided to do this.
What's amazing is that the government actually went along with something that was largely anecdotal.
Yes, it was. I think the part that we might not be aware of now is the politicking behind it. There might be more than the supposed good intentions of protecting South Africans against COVID-19. There might be ulterior motives. There might be some power plays and power politics behind it, but we just don't know, unfortunately. The problem is the politicking isn't a basis for legislating, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, until it came to COVID. Something else that's really an area of concern is that South Africa's missed the payment and the opportunity to be part of COVAX. And my first thought as somebody who's followed politics in this country and has been mortified by the amount of corruption, that was my first thought, is it a corrupt situation? You know, has there been a private deal signed with pharmaceutical companies rather than going through the United Nations COVAX program? You know, I mean, that's just my gut instinct. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm not saying that it isn't, but that was my first go-to thought. Okay. So let's talk about, Donnie, let's talk about enforcing lockdown regulations. I mean, how is that possible? I'm seeing videos of huge parties in Cape Town, no social distancing, and I mean no social distancing, and not a mask in sight, and everybody singing and dancing and jiving and drinking. Who's enforcing this, or is it only restricted to, you know, film crews on Camps Bay Beach?
Yeah, so I mean, that's the point is that it's supposed to be the police enforcing these things. I mean, regardless of what we might think of the regulations, they are there. They are duly enacted in terms of a national piece of legislation. And they're supposed to be enforced. The thing is that when lockdown started and when this whole pandemic started, we said that this pandemic is going to highlight the cracks that already exist within South Africa. And then we were talking about the economical cracks. We said that South Africa was already in dire straits with its economy, and this pandemic is just going to, you know, further worsen the economic situation. But the same is true for a lot of things. For example, we've already had problems with police enforcement in South Africa. Our police capacity is overstretched. I remember, I think it was a year or two ago, where our National Police Commissioner said, we simply do not have the power, the capacity to protect South Africans. And he said that in National Parliament. And what this pandemic has done is it's just further highlighted and emphasized the fact that they really can't do it. So that and then we get upset when there are these discrepancies where they go to Camps Bay to close a filming crew shooting an advertisement.
Who were there legally? Who were there legally, yes, and legitimately?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. But they don't close massive super spreader events where the enforcement is actually needed. And I mean, it's just South Africa probably is a country of contradictions, as are probably most countries. But this pandemic has really highlighted those contradictions.
Do you think the government, Donnie, do you think that the government is expecting us to behave like adults when in actual fact, our behavior often is that of children, where we need somebody else to be in charge?
It's such an interesting question, because I really think it does boil down to philosophical viewpoints on how you see the role of state and how you see the citizens and the relationship between the two. I think in some sense that government is actually nanny-stating us during this pandemic way more than other countries are. I mean, there was a time during lockdown where we were told what types of clothing we were able to buy, and which we weren't, and which type of you could buy frozen chicken but not cooked chicken in stores. So in some ways, I think the government is almost pedantic, and they treat us as children. And on the other hand, I do think they realize, and government is well aware, that in some circumstances, a heavy hand is needed to enforce compliance and to make sure people, maintain social distance and wear their masks and, you know, do all these things that are supposedly there to protect us against the virus. And again, it's a difficult balancing act. I don't take that away from government, that they do have a difficult task at hand. It's just a shame on how they trying to, you know, address that task. Sometimes I do think they don't do it as properly as they could have.
Yeah. Donnie Eloff, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for having a frank discussion with me. And I'm sure that it won't be the last time that you'll be on the station. So thank you very much. Have a good weekend. Stay safe. Don't drink the sanitizer. Just
thank you.
All right. Cheers. Bye. That's Donnie Eloff. He is a lawyer at Dear South Africa. Dear South Africa encourages South Africans to get involved in policy making, get involved in telling the government what to do. You know, we're not going to fix our problems unless we get involved. Nobody else is going to do it for us. And you can't sit back and complain that this is wrong and that's wrong if you A, don't vote, B, don't get involved.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.